الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، in the previous class we had begun the discussion about أقسام الخبر باعتبار تعدد طرقه أو باعتبار وصوله إلينا. The discussion about the different categories of the خبر with regards to how many chains it has come, the manner it has reached us. We've seen in our previous class that in this aspect, the khabar is divided into two main categories. Who can remind us? Now, al-mutawatir wal ahad. Ahsant. And the ahad is divided into three categories. What was that? Al-mashhur.
Mashhur. Aziz.
Al-aziz. Al-Gharib, Ahsant, Allahumma barik. Allahumma barik. We've seen that the mutawatir, a massively transmitted report, and he transmitted with a mass amount of people in every tabaqa, to the extent that it cannot be denied, and it's not possible for them to conspire together to lie or all of the same mistake at the same time. So therefore, this type of narration, it brings decisive certainty. There's no doubt about that. So there's no research. There's no research into the chain and the narrators of the chain with regards to this narration because of this affair. Because of this affair. We have seen also that the mutawatir is as well two types. What was that? Al-lafzi wal-ma'nawi. Ahsanta. Al-mutawatir, al-lafzi, wal-mutawatir, al-ma'nawi. Al-mutawatir, al-lafzi, like what? Man bana lillahi masjidan bana Allahu lahu baytan fil jannah. Man bana lillahi masjidan bana Allahu lahu baytan fil jannah. Before that? Man kadhaba alayhi muta'ammidan falyatabawwa' maq'adahu min an-nar. Nadhara Allahu imra'an sami'a minna hadithan fahafidhahu kama sami'ahu fahafidhahu hatta yubalighahu kama sami'a. And the hadith. So these are examples of that. طيب المتواتر المعنوي. What is المتواتر in the first place? اللفظي. And in that exact text, the words of that hadith came متواتر. It's been narrated with Chinese متواتر. You understand that? The actual text, this wording here. Whoever lies on me intentionally, then let him take a seat in the hellfire. Then let him take a seat in the hellfire. This text here has been narrated mutawatir with these words. With these words. You understand? The other aspect is al-mutawatir al-ma'nawi. So it's not the actual words that are being transmitted, but there is an issue that all of these different narrations that have been narrated in this mass transmission all agree upon. Maybe this hadith is about this subject, and this one is about this subject, and that one is about that subject. But all of them speak about one issue within that narration. So therefore, that issue has been narrated with this massive transmission, with this massive transmission. Not the actual wordings, but that topic, that issue. Like the issue of the Prophet having a hold, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, or like the issue of wiping on the Khufayn. This is something that's established. Not in one narration that hasn't reached us by that wording mutawatira, but rather by numerous different narrations from different aspects, different angles, different issues. You understand that? And that topic is mentioned in all of those narrations. So that portion right there is mutawatira. Even if one of those particular narrations itself is not mutawatira. Wabih, that particular narration itself is not mutawatira, but that issue that's been discussed has reached us in this matter. Has reached us in this manner. Numerous chains, numerous narrations discussing the affairs of the permissibility of wiping on the leather socks. Numerous chains come discussing that. Numerous narrations coming discussing the affairs of the believer seeing Allah on the day of resurrection in the Jannah. Numerous narrations have come mentioning the affair of the Shafa'ah, the intercession on the day of a resurrection, that which is lawful from death, that which will occur by the permission of Allah Azza wa Jal for those whom He's pleased with, Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So maybe one narration about the Shafi'i. This is one. It's mentioned in one aspect. Like there's a narration, for example, of Jabir whenever he mentions the affair that would have happened, that the Shafi'i would occur. Then there's another narration whenever the Prophet he mentioned that whoever makes du'a for me and sends a salah on me after the adhan, that he will have the Shafi'i. Then there's another narration whenever the Abu Hurairah, he asked who is the most happiest and successful from the believers who are from those who have your Shafi'i. So here, these are different topics, different issues, but each one of them they agree on one meaning. That meaning is mentioned in them, although the subject matter and the content in general of those narrations is different. You understand? But all of them are speaking about the Shafi'i. So therefore, the issue of Shafi'i has reached us mutawatir. Mutawatir. This is al-mutawatir al-ma'nawi, and it has come more than al-lafzi. It has come more than al-lafzi. After that, we discussed al-mashhur. After that, we discussed al-ahad. And we were speaking about al-mashhur, and al-mashhur it has a linguistic meaning, which means to be famous and well known. To be famous and well known. And as for the legislative meaning or the technological meaning, the terminology in the scholars of hadith, what is it? Ma rawahu thalathatun fa'akthar ma lam yablugh hadd at-tawatur. Ma rawahu thalathatun fa'akthar ma lam yablugh hadd at-tawatur. That which is narrated by three people or more, so long as it didn't reach the level of at-tawatur. There was another type of mashhur or mushtahir. Mushtahir al al-sina. What is that? Meaning that it's not the terminology by the scholars, rather that they say that this narration is famous, but they don't mean that it's narrated by three or more people, so long as it didn't reach at-tawatur. They don't mean that. What do they mean? It's famous, meaning everybody knows it. It's well circulated, and it's circulated in the people. They're all aware of it. So this is a linguistic understanding. So the word mashhur sometimes is used to refer to the technical terminology, and other times it may be used as well, but not to refer to the technical terminology, but rather to refer to the linguistic meaning. Because there are certain narrations that are very famous for the layman. There are other narrations that are famous for the fuqaha, other narrations that are famous for the nuhat, the scholars of nahu, and the likes like this. There are other narrations that are famous and in those circles. Amongst those scholars and those students, specific narrations that they repeat and they mention and they discuss often, or they use them as examples for issues in the science that they're discussing. So, with regards to them, that narration is poor. But they don't mean by that this terminology that we're talking, they mean by that everybody knows it's well known. It's well known. It's well known. So, this is what we're discussing in our previous class, and this is a brief review of that. It's a brief review of that. Alhamdulillah. So, we continue reading from where we left off at Aziz. Al-Aziz, the rare supported report. So the Shaykh mentioned, حفظه الله, ما هو العزيز لغة واصطلاحا؟ ولماذا سمي عزيزا؟ هل هو الشرط الصحيح أو ليس بشرط؟ وما ثمرة الخلاف؟ وبما يرد على من زعم أنه شرط البخاري؟ وبما يرد على من زعم أنه شرط البخاري؟ ومثل له ومثل له. What is Al-Aziz linguistically and technically? And in the terminology of the scholars of Hadith, linguistically, and likewise in the terminology of the scholars of Hadith. Why is it called Al-Aziz? Why is it called Al-Aziz? Is it a condition for authenticity or not? What is the practical effect of this disagreement? And what is the outcome? What is the fruit of this disagreement? And there are some who claim that to be Aziz is a condition for the Hadith to be authentic. And others, they say, no, that's not a condition. How do we respond to those who claim it is a condition according to al-Bukhari? And provide an example. And provide an example. The Shaykh says, al-Jawab, the answer, al-Aziz fi al-lughati an-nadir wal-qawi. An-nadir wal-qawi wal-shaqa. The Shaykh mentioned, hafidhullah, that linguistically, al-Aziz means rare, strong, or difficult. It has these different meanings. It's one word, it has these different meanings according to the context. And likewise, according to the sarf. According to the sarf, because the verb is azza ya'izzu, azza ya'izzu, and also azza ya'azzu, azza ya'azzu, also azza ya'uzzu. So it has come with these different scales, and they have different meanings. In different contexts, it has a different understanding. So in one context, you say azza ya'izzu, and meaning that azza ya'izzu, and kana azizan, and kana qawiyan shadidan. كَانَ قَوِيًا شَدِيدًا. Then you may say in another light, another context, عَزَّ يَعَزُّ. عَزَّ يَعَزُّ يَعْنِي كَانَ عَزِيزًا أَيْ نَادِرًا. عزة يعز بمعنى نادرة أو قل، يعني قل أو نادرة. So the word here it has a number of meanings. وعزني، وعزني في الخطاب هنا بمعنى غلبني وقهرني. عز يعز غلبني وقهرني. So that's another meaning. That's another meaning here. And so to overpower someone also like that it means عز عزه عزه وعزني في الخطاب. عزني في الخطاب يعني غلبني في الخطاب وقهرني وقهرني. So this is a beautiful clarification of the richness of the Arabic language. One word has a number of meanings in different contexts, and even sometimes one word has a number of ways to pronounce it. Yani in the sarf, it has a number of scales or forms that it comes in. Yani the morphology changes, and along with that, the meaning changes. The people of knowledge, scholars of the sarf, they say ziyadatun fil mabna, ziyadatun fil ma'na, ziyadatun fil mabna, ziyadatun. في المعنى يعني الزيادة في المبنى تفيد زيادة في المعنى. So زيادة an addition in the structure of the word indicates or leads to addition in the meaning. يعني the meaning is different. So عز يعز is different than عز يعز. وهكذا وهكذا. So this is something here. So this word here it means يعني عز could mean it can mean قوية. يعني he is very strong. أو اشتد he was very strong and severe. Or it can mean نادرة. قل وندرة قل يعني كان قليلا something that's few be rare it's rare it's rare also for example يعني ندرة كان نادرا something that's rare so some of the people of knowledge as they mentioned for example الإخلاص أعز ما في الدنيا أعز ما في الدنيا الإخلاص أعز ما في الدنيا يعني from the what does that mean the rarest يعني أندر وأقل شيء يوجد يعني the rarest thing in the dunya is pure sincerity and truthfulness with Allah. You understand that? This is what they mean. This is what they mean. So the word maybe it means this, maybe it means that according to the context. So this is a benefit here. So here he's saying حفظه الله that all of these meanings could be intended, and the reason why it's called Aziz for this particular terminology. One, it's nadir, meaning it's rare. Number two, it's قوي أو شاك. It's strong. It's strong or difficult. It's strong or difficult. So you need to تقول عز علي كذا وكذا. عز علي ألا تزورني مثلا. يعني صعب علي. It's hard for me. You don't come visit me. Right? It's hard on me like this. So this is another meaning as well. This is another meaning as well. So linguistically, عزيز it means rare. Strong or difficult, rare, strong or difficult. Technically, it is a hadith. وفي الاشتراحي هو ما كان له طريقان. ما كان له طريقان. The one that has two chains of transmission. Technically, in the اشتراح, the مصطلح, بعض الحديث, it is a narration, a hadith that has two chains of transmission. يعني in one of the طبقات, as we have seen in our previous class. Two chains of transmission, two chains of transmission, meaning in one of the طبقات. For example, if we have the طبقة of the صحابي, then we look after it. Maybe sometimes he will only have two students, and then each one of those students, maybe this student he'll have 10, and this student he'll have 5, and then these 10 they will have students, and these 10 they will, and these 5 they will have students, and the chain will unfold like this. You understand? But we look at the one here, the smallest one, the least number. So here at the tabi'in there's only 2, so it's called aziz. So it's called aziz. So long as these other chains they come to 1. But even then, it's going to be Aziz, it's going to be 1 over here. If there's 1 over here on these further chains, the branch chains, it has a different term. It's going to come, actually, we're not going to discuss this affair. It's called Farad al-Nisbi. Farad al-Nisbi. But this will come, inshallah, yani in future classes. Right now, we want to be able to see the Aziz. You understand the Aziz? There's all of these different tabaqat. One of them, only has 2 students, 2 narrators narrating on him. 2 narrators narrate on him. So therefore it's called Aziz. Therefore it's called Aziz. The Shaykh, he says, وَسُمِيَ عَزِيزًا and it's called Aziz. وَسُمِيَ عَزِيزًا and it's called Aziz for one of these following reasons. إِمَّا لِقِلَّةِ وُجُودِهِ either because of its rarity, it's not found often. أَوْ لِكَوْنِهِ عَزَّ أَيْ قَوِيَ بِمَجِئِهِ مِنْ طَلِيقٍ آخَرٍ or because of its strength, meaning it was strengthened and supported by another chain. You understand? وعززنا به ثالثا، يعني meaning here to make it strong, to make it strong. So they called it Aziz, maybe because for one reason why, because it's rare. It's rare. This is something that you don't find often. There's one that there's a narrator that only has two students. There's in the chain, there's only two in that tabaqa. And most of the time there's more than that. The mashhur, right? But to find narrations like this is something that's rare. Waleh, so they called it Al-Aziz. And then along with that, this one person, he was strengthened whenever the other guy came also. So now there's two of them, not one. So now it's considered Aziz from this aspect, how they're strengthened by the two of them being together. أو لمشقة الحصول عليه عند البحث عنه. Or it's called Aziz because of the difficulty in finding it upon investigation. The difficulty in finding upon investigation. Yani when you want to find the type of the narration that's like this, it's going to be difficult for you to look for. Why? Because it's rare. Something that's rare is hard to find. It's not easy to find things that are rare. That's why they're considered rare and precious. If you find it, you hold on to it. So if you're looking for it, it's going to be difficult for you. It's going to be difficult for you. So he's mentioning these are all the different reasons that has been mentioned why it's called Aziz. And Allah knows best. فَتَسْمِيَتُهُ بِذَلِكَ إِمَّا لِقُوَّتِهِ أَوْ نُدْرَتِهِ أَوْ لِمَشَقَّةِ الْحُصُولِ عَلَيْهِ. Therefore, the naming could be due to its strength or its rarity, to its strength, its rarity, or its difficulty of access. Its difficulty to find it, to find it. You need to actually come across it. We understand this part now, huh? الحمد لله. وليس العزيز شرطا للصحيح خلافا لأبي علي الجبائي المعتزلي فقد زعم أنه لا يكون الحديث صحيحا إلا إذا كان عزيزا من طريقين على الأقل. العزيز is not a condition for authenticity. العزيز is not a condition for authenticity, for it to be considered صحيح. Contrary to Abu Ali al-Jubai al-Mu'tazili, who claimed a hadith is not authentic unless it has at least two chains. Unless it has at least two chains. According to this individual here from the Mu'tazila, any the deviant sect of innovators that are well known, and they have people of knowledge, ulama as-su, they spoke about these affairs and they entered into these fields. Wallahu musta'an, and brought many doubts. Many doubts and problems. Likewise in usul al-fiqh as well. And also in nahw and the likes. And these sciences here that are considered technical sciences and instrumental sciences, they really came and discussed these affairs and entered much of their deviation. And the people of knowledge, they refuted them and clarified their falsehood. So here's an example of that. Rather, the issue of the mutawatir and the likes like this is something that was introduced by the people of the deviation, and they had bad intentions in doing that. They had bad intentions in doing that because the people of knowledge initially they look at the chains, and if they are authentic, then they believe in them and follow them and abide by them, regardless of the number of narrators. It's some of the people of deviation, they entered this terminology or this ideology here in order to reject some of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So they would say that the mutawatir, this one, we follow it, but the one that's ahad, we only follow it in ahkam, in rulings, and we don't follow it in aqidah. We don't follow in aqidah. This is what they claim. But even then, they're lying, because in establishing the ruling, there is aqidah there. We discussed this before in previous classes. In establishing the ahkam, there's aqidah there, meaning that you believe that that's revelation in law, and you believe that that was revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and if you do it, you're allowed to do it. So you believe in the halal, and you believe in the haram, you believe in the obligations, and you believe in the prohibitions. So there's even aqidah related to this affair of the ahkam. There's even aqidah related to this affair of the ahkam. So these people, they're wrong, and they had bad intentions, and their intention was to follow their desires and to reject a great portion of the sunnah, and this was one of the methodologies that they had tried to follow in order to do that. So the people of knowledge, they clarify these affairs and refute the people of falsehood in this manner. So Al-Aziz is not a condition. Yani this guy, this man here, Abu Ali Al-Jubai Al-Mu'tazili, he claims that the Aziz is the minimum requirement for the hadith to be sahih. Anything after that is not accepted. Anything, if there's, it has to be at least two people in one of the, if you, in one of the tabaqat. It should never go below that. If it goes below that, it's not accepted. You understand his position? So this is what he says. So the Shaykh, he says, now hafidhullah wa thamaratul khilaf, the fruits and the consequences of this disagreement is as follows. The consequences, the fruit, the outcome of this disagreement is as follows. Maybe somebody would just think, oh, this is just a difference of opinion of the scholars, and he has his ijtihad, and he has his ijtihad, and the likes like this. But no, that's not what is intended. That's not the outcome of this. What comes from this is, number one, it is number one, opposing the way of the scholars of hadith, opposing the methodology of the Salaf with regards to the narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this leads to denying the Sunnah and rejecting the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wadih? So it's a fair outcome. He says, أن الغريب لا يكون صحيحا عند أبي علي لكونه قد جاء من طريق واحد ومن شرط الصحيح عنده أن يأتي من طريقين أو أن يأتي من طريقين على الأقل. According to Abu Ali, a gharib, a solitary narration, solitary narration cannot be classified as sahih, authentic. It cannot be classified as sahih, authentic, because it has come through only one chain of transmission. While one of the conditions for authenticity in his view, in his opinion, is that the report must be transmitted through at least two independent chains. At least two independent chains. So therefore, it must be aziz, or else it's rejected. أما عند غيره فيكون صحيحا. And he's all by himself. Right? He's all. أما عند غيره, يعني هذا الرجل, أما عند غيره فيكون صحيحا لعدم اشتراط ذلك الشرط. As for the other scholars, they do consider a gharib report to be authentic. And they consider the gharib to be authentic, provided it meets the other necessary conditions. Since they do not require this specific condition. They do not require this condition. So the other scholars, they consider it to be authentic. The gharib is authentic. And if it meets the requirements, and for the authentic narration, then it's authentic, even if it's gharib. And this is because this condition here is not established. They didn't understand it in this manner. It was not applied in that way. It was not applied in that way from the scholars of hadith. So it says, وَيُرُدُّ عَلَى مَنْ زَعَمَ أَنَّ الْعَزِيزَ شَرْطٌ فِي الصَّحِيحِ عِنْدَ الْبُخَارِي بِالْأَحَادِيثِ الْكَثِيرَةِ التي أوردها البخاري في صحيحه وهي غريبة لم تأتي إلا من طريق واحد. And the claim made by some that Al-Aziz is a condition for authenticity according to Al-Bukhari is refuted by pointing to the many narrations found in his Sahih that are gharib, that have come through only one chain of transmission. And in that they want to claim that Al-Bukhari, he set this condition himself for it to be authentic. It must at least be Aziz. But we refute them and clarify their falsehood by taking them to court and opening up the book of Bukhari and finding a number of narrations that are gharib, that he has placed in his book himself. You understand? That he has placed in his book in himself. Rather, the Shaykh, he says, وَمِنْ أَبْرَزِهَا الْحَدِيثَ الَّذِي صَدَّرَ بِهِ صَحِيحَهُ وَهُوَ حَدِيثِ إِنَّمَا الْعَمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ ومثله الحديث الذي ختم به صحيحه وهو حديث أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه كلمتان حبيبتان إلى الرحمن. Among the most prominent examples is the very first hadith in which he opens his sahih with. Actions are only by way of intentions. The very first hadith, when you open Sahih Bukhari, there's no muqaddimah, there's no introduction, there's no forward, there's nothing but this hadathana al-Humayri, Abdullah ibn Zubayr, يعني أنت عمر إنما الأعمال بالنيات إنما يعني he mentioned the يعني the chapter title كتاب بدء الوحي. But the first narration he mentions is this narration here, and this narration is غريب. This narration is غريب. It's only narrated from this way, even in the category or the طبقة of the Sahaba. Umar, he's the only one who reported this narration, and Alqama ibn Waqas al-Laythi, he's the only one who narrated from him. And Muhammad Ibrahim al-Taymi, he's the only one who narrated from him. And then after that, Yahya bin Sa'id al-Ansari. After that, then the narration becomes mutawatira. Understand? But the chain is like this. And he from Umar, he's the only Sahaba who narrated it. The only Tabi who narrated from him is Alqama ibn Waqas al-Layfi. And the only one who narrated from him is Muhammad Ibrahim al-Taymi. And the only one who narrated from him was Yahya bin Sa'id al-Ansari. After that, Sufyan ibn Uyayni, he got it. And then Humaydi, the one who studied his book before, Abdullah ibn Zubayr, right? Sharh Sunnah, Usul Sunnah, we studied that. Then he narrated it. And then Bukhari, he got it from him. But after Yahya ibn Sa'id al-Ansari, the narration is narrated by a number of narrators. So the original chain, even the first few categories is all غريبة. غريب. You understand that? So, and he began his book with it, that he called Al-Jami' al-Sahih. Al-Jami' al-Sahih. And then also as well, the last hadith, the very last narration, is the narration of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, كلمتان حبيبتان للرحمن أو ثقيلتان في الميزان خفيفتان على لساني سبحان الله وبحمده سبحان الله العظيم. So this narration here, likewise, is غريب. So the Al-Bukhari, he began his collection of authentic narrations with the hadith as غريب. And he sealed and finalized and closed his authentic collection with a hadith that is غريب. And then what's غريب is somebody comes along and says that Bukhari, he believes that غريب is not authentic, right? That غريب is, this one is غريب. This is the one that's strange, right? But in reality, it's not strange from the people of deviation and misguidance because they're known for lying. They're known for lying. Their methodology is to lie and to use deception and to play games and the likes like this. The Mu'tazila and the Jahmiyyah, biliyadhibillah, like that, that's their way. And to fabricate lies against the people of knowledge and to defame them and the likes like this. In any case, what they claim is not true. And this is from the examples of that. So the Shaykh, he says, وَمِثَالُ الْعَزِيزِ حَدِيثُ وَلَا يُؤْمِنُ أَحَدُكُمْ حَتَّى أَكُونَ أَحَبَّ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ وَلَدِهِ وَوَالِدِهِ وَالنَّاسِ أَجْمَعِينَ. The example of the Aziz is the narration of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. None of you truly believes until I am more beloved to him than his child, his parent, and all of mankind. This is another example. Even if we look in the chain, in the tabaq of the Sahaba, you see that there's two from the Sahaba who narrated, Anas and Abu Hurairah. The narration of Anas is muttafaqun alayhi, and the narration of Abu Hurairah is in Sahih Bukhari. But they're the only two who narrated this narration from the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Then if we look at who narrated it from Anas, we find that the two. And then if we look from those two who narrated from each of them, it's only two. So this is a real rare example of the Aziz. And then likewise on Abu Hurairah, he had two students, and their students had each two students, like this. And this is an amazing affair in this particular narration and this example. So the point is that it's this is an example of that. The Aziz has come, and an example of that is the hadith of Anas radiallahu anhu, which is muttafaqun alayhi, and the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, which is Sahih Bukhari. لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى أكون أحب إليه من ولده ووالده والناس أجمعين. No one of you truly believes until I'm more beloved to him than his parent, or than his child and his parent, his child and his father, and all of mankind. So now we see the author, he moves on, Al-Gharib, the singular or strange report. And it's considered singular, the individual report, and the linguistic meaning is strange, and meaning because the person, he's alone. And that's the case of a stranger. So the question is, ما هو الغريب لغة واصطلاحا ومثل له؟ ومثل له. What is al-gharib linguistically and technically? In the terminology of the scholars of hadith. And provide an example. Al-gharib lughatan. الغريب لغة فعير من الغربة. فعير من الغربة. وهي النزوح عن الوطن. وهي النزوح عن الوطني. Linguistically, الغريب is derived from the غربة. It's on the scale of فعير. It's derived from الغربة. غربة شيء. يعني كان غريبا. غربة أو غربة. أيضا, it comes in both ways. يعني غربة يغرب وغربة يغرب. غربة وغرابة. غُرْبَةً وَغَرَابَةً. وَالْغَرَابَةً يعني something that's strange. And that happens whenever a person, he's alone. بِنْفِرَادِهِ. وَالْغُرْبَةً كَذَلِكَ. Whenever a person is feeling strange, he's out, he's alone or outnumbered and the like. Alienation. يعني, which means like alienation. So, الغريب is on the scale of فَعِيل. This is what he's saying. فَعِيل. From غُرْبَة. غَرِيب. Alienation or separation from one's homeland. They call it a stranger. غَرِيب. كون في الدنيا كأنك غريب أو عابر سبيل. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم told Ibn Umar رضي الله عنهما that you should be in the dunya as if you are غريب. What's that mean? A traveler, مسافر. المقصود المسافر. You should be in this life like you are a مسافر. You're traveling and you don't take this as a place of permanent residence. That's what it means. Because the مسافر يكون غريبا. الناس لا يعرفونه. The people don't know him, so he's considered a stranger. He's different. They know who he is, right? So the prophet, he advised that to be a stranger, rather abir sabir, rather better than that to be a wayfarer, a passerby. And he meaning because the traveler, maybe he will take up residence and in a strange land and become and make it his home. But as for the passerby, the one who is just abir sabir, he does not take up that strange land as his home. Rather, he keeps on moving until he reaches his destination. And this is the end of the advice. Initially, to be like a traveler, rather you should be like the passerby. Don't take this place here, this dunya, as a final resting place and abode. Rather, you're going to return to Allah Azza wa Jalla. وفي اصطلاحه هو ما كان له طريق واحد. وفي الاصطلاح هو ما كان له طريق واحد. Technically, in the terminology of the scholars of hadith, it refers to a hadith that has only one chain of transmission, meaning at any level in the isnad. We discussed this yesterday. This is clear, right? What does it mean to have only one chain of transmission? Transmission, and in one of the tabaqat, there's only one narrator. In one of the tabaqat, there's only one narrator. There's only one narrator. So he says, ومثاله حديث عمر بن الخطاب رضي الله عنه الذي جعله بعض المصنفين في الحديث فاتحة كتبهم وهو قوله صلى الله عليه وسلم إنما الأعمال بالنيات الحديث. An example is the hadith of Umar ibn al-Khattabi radiallahu anhu, which many scholars placed at the beginning of their hadith collections. Indeed, actions are only by way of intentions. Mention one of those scholars. Huh? Before all of that. Huh? Al-Bukhari. We just talked about it. Al-Bukhari. Al-Bukhari, he did that. Rahimahullah. This is one of the first to do that. One of the first to do that. He died in 256. Also al-Baghawi in his book Sharh Sunnah, he did the same thing. He died in 516. After him, an-Nawawi, he did the same thing, right? An-Nawawi, he died in 676. He did the same thing in which work? The 40 hadith. Also before him, someone did that. We studied his book. Huh? We studied his book. Inshallah, we're gonna return to studying it again soon. Inshallah. Al-Maqdisi, Abdul Ghani ibn Abdul Wahid al-Maqdisi, he died in the year 600, right? In his book, Umdat al-Ahkam, he began with the narration of Umar, Innama al-A'malu bin-Niyyat. So a number of scholars, and there's others likewise. Shafi, he mentioned the importance of that, and Abdul Rahman ibn Mahdi, he died in 198. He mentioned that if he was going to author a work, he would put it at the beginning of every chapter. He would put it at the beginning, not only the beginning of the book, but at the beginning of every chapter. At the beginning of every chapter, because of its because it's so suitable, and the student is in great need to realize this affair. And with regards to his intention in seeking knowledge and learning, and likewise to the issues related to the intention in these different chapters of knowledge, in these different chapters of knowledge. So again, this narration here, an example is the in the Ma'amara bin Niyyat, the first narration in Sahih Bukhari. Another example. كلمتان كلمتان حبيبتان للرحمن ثقيلتان في الميزان خفيفتان على اللسان سبحان الله وبحمده سبحان الله العظيم. This is the last narration. This is the last narration in Sahih Bukhari. So the first one was the hadith of Umar في النية, and the last one is the hadith of Abi Huraira رضي الله عنه في الميزان. في الميزان كلمتان خفيفتان في الميزان. نعم. وقت المغرب. Both of them are gharib. Any questions related to this topic that we're discussing now, with regards to the mutawatir, with regards to the ahad is the mashfur and the aziz and the gharib. Anybody still not aware or understand what is intended by these affairs? I think it's clear. The general picture has come across, right? Everybody? Alhamdulillah. So now if you see one of the scholars say, hadha hadithun gharib, you know what it means. What does it mean? There's somewhere in the chain of that narration, in one of those categories of narrators, in one of those tabaqat, there's only one narrator. There's only one narrator. You understand? There's only one narrator. If it says hada hadith and aziz, that means that one of those tabaqat, there's only two. Right? And then if they say hada hadith mashhur, or they say hada hadith mustafid, what does it mean? Mean that it has numerous chains. It has numerous chains, more than three in every tabaqa. More than three in every tabaqa, but it didn't reach the level of al-mutawatir. And if they say, hadith al-mutawatir, قد جاء بالتواتر. Now you say, Allahu Akbar. You question the authenticity, right? As for the mashhur and the aziz and the gharib, then we have to verify the authenticity of these. Some of them are authentic and some of them are not. So these narrations here, we have to, the chains have to be identified, and they have to be examined, and they have to be established. And likewise, the texts, because a narration could be declared weak because of the text, or because of the chain, or because of both of them. Right? You understand that? So the chain is not only, it's not the only thing that we examine and verify the authenticity of a narration. The scholars, they will verify the chain, no doubt about that. But also there's issues related to the mention that must be in accordance as well. That must be in accordance as well before it's accepted. Before it's accepted. This issue here that we just discussed, the issue of mutawatir and the issue of the ahad, and the mashhur and the aziz and the gharib. Right now we're just looking at the general picture. It's just trying to get the general picture. If we go into detail, there are many details to discuss here. There's many issues that come in this chapter that we discussed, and in many different circumstances and situations, there's al-farad al-mutlaq, and there's farad al-nisbi, yani al-ghareeb, the gharaba al-nisbiya, wa gharaba al-mutlaqa, and the like side. There's different issues to discuss. There's different issues to discuss. One thing that we're going to mention is that any narration that has been authenticated by the reliable scholars, we believe in it, and we apply it to the best of our abilities. You understand that? Any narration, whether it's mutawatir, or whether it's mashhur, or whether it's aziz, or whether it's gharib, if our scholars who are reliable have verified that it's authentic, then we accept it. We accept it by way of the knowledge that it's informing us of, and we believe in it, and we accept that knowledge. And likewise, we accept it by believing in it and striving to apply it and abide by it to the best of our abilities. Understand that? Regardless of the if it's declared authentic by the scholars of hadith, alhamdulillah, we believe in it and we follow it. We believe in it and we follow it. We don't get into the statements of like those, the Mu'tazila and the people of deviation and so on and so forth. This is sufficient here. That these reports here, they bring us to this certainty that we believe in those narrations and we follow them. And we follow them, regardless of whether it's mutawatir or ahad. Regardless of whether it's mutawatir or ahad. So long as it's been declared authentic by the reliable scholars, then this is the case. Then this is the case. So the Shaykh, he says, Hafidhullah, taqseem al-khabar ila maqbool wa mardood. Ila maqbool wa mardood. So now this is a discussion about the main fruit, right? About the main fruit of the science. Who remembers the main fruit of the science? To reach this level here, to be able to distinguish from that which is accepted and that which is rejected from the narrations of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. علم الحديث ذو قوانين تحد يدرى بها أحوال المتن والسند ذلك الموضوع والمقصود أن يعرف المقبول والمردود أن يعرف المقبول والمردود. So he says, حفظه الله تقسيم الخبر إلى المقبول والمردود. The division of the reports and khabar into accepted and rejected. Into accepted and rejected. The question mentions, أذكر أقسام الخبر من حيث القبول والرد. من حيث القبول والرد. ولما قسمت أخبار الأحاد إلى القسمين في ذلك ولما قسمت أخبار الأحاد إلى القسمين في ذلك. Mention the categories of reports in terms of acceptance and rejection. Why were the Ahad reports divided into these two categories? Why were the Ahad reports divided into these two categories? So now that we're discussing the issue of whether the narration is accepted or rejected, we're not discussing anymore the issue of the mutawatir. Now the discussion is solely about al-ahad, because these are the ones that you have to verify. These are the ones that must be verified. Now, so he says, mention the categories of reports in terms of acceptance and rejection. And why were the ahad reports divided into these two categories? The jawab, the answer, al-khabr al-mutawatir maqbulun qat'a. Al-khabr al-mutawatir maqbulun qat'a. The mutawatir report is definitely accepted. Maqbulun qat'an, yani it's accepted with certainty decisively. There is no disagreement on its authenticity. There's no disagreement on its authenticity. And we see why and how in the examples we discussed in our previous class. Remember? We've seen why and how you accept it absolutely And it is considered absolutely authentic because it's not possible to deny it because of the massive transmission. Remember this? They're not able to conspire together. It's too many people for them to conspire together, and there's too many people for them even to accidentally make a mistake and all say the wrong thing at the same time about the same thing. It's not possible. It's not possible to do that. So therefore, it cannot be anything but accepted. It cannot be anything but accepted. This massive transmission in this manner. He says, وَأَمَّا الْأَحَادَ فَمِنْهَا الْمَقْبُولُ وَهُوَ حُجَّةٌ فِي الْأَقَائِدِ وَالْأَحْكَامِ وَمِنْهَا الْمَرْدُودُ الَّذِي لَا يُحْتَجُّ بِهِ. As for the ahad reports, meaning the reports that are not mutawatira, from them there are those that are accepted, and they're maqbool, and this type is considered a proof, any hujjah, and matters of creed, aqidah, and likewise in legal rulings, in al-ahkam, in al-ahkam. So the ahad reports, those that are not mutawatira, from them there are narrations that are maqbool. Maqbool. What does maqbool mean? Accepted. They're considered, and these narrations that are maqbula, they're considered hujjah. Huh? Fi mizan al-shara'. They're considered evidence and proof in the scale with the legislation. You understand that? In matters of creed and in matters of jurisprudence. Matters of creed and in matters of jurisprudence. Wadih? Alhamdulillah. So he says, and also from them there are those that are rejected. They're not accepted. So what does that mean? They're not a proof. Not in creed nor in jurisprudence. Not in creed nor in indeed actions. So those that are accepted, they are proof and evidence. So long as it's called maqbool, so long as the hadith is maqbool, it's accepted, then it's evidence and proof in the aqidah, establishing the creed, and likewise in the sharia, establishing the halal and the haram, and the wajib, and the muharram and the likes, that which is wajib and that which is mustahab. All of these affairs are established by the ahad if it is maqbool, in kana maqbulan, if it is considered accepted. As for the mardud is not an proof, rather it's rejected. وَقَدْ قَسَمَ الْمُحَدِّثُونَ الْأَحَادَ إِلَى هَذَيْنِ الْقِسْمَيْنِ لِتَوَقُّفِ الْاِسْتِدْلَالِ بِهَا أَوْ عَدَمِهِ عَلَى الْبَحْثِ عَنْ أحوالي رواتها. The scholars of hadith made this division into two categories because the validity of ahad reports depends on the reliability of their narrators, whether they are trustworthy or not. Therefore, determining whether to use such a report as evidence requires research and verification. Requires research and verification. And you can't move on these narrations. You can't believe them or apply them until you verify that they are authentic, until you verify that they are authentic. And the means to verify that they are authentic is to examine the chains. Is to examine the chains. And likewise, as well, to examine the text. And likewise, as well, to examine the text. The text. Initially, it's the chain. But still, the hadith is not declared authentic until the text likewise meets the requirements. Meets the requirements. This is very important. Some people, they think that verifying or authenticating a narration is only from the chain. That's not right. That's not right. The scholars of hadith, they only care about the chain. Wallahi, that's not right. That's not correct at all. Rather, they have great care for the chain, no doubt about that, and also the metin. And there are conditions for the chain to be accepted, and there are conditions for the metin to be accepted. Because a khabar consists of two components. What are they? Al-isnadu wal matin. Al-sanad, he said, al-sanad wal matin. Al-sanad wal matin. Both of them have conditions. Both of them have conditions. And these conditions, they come together before that matin is accepted. You understand? It's not just verifying the chain. Any chain that apparently authentic, the matin is accepted, that's not the methodology of the scholars of hadith. That's not the methodology of the scholars of hadith. You understand that? Rather, there are some chains that are from the strongest of chains, yet the metin is rejected for a hidden defect or for a reason maybe unclear or unknown to those who don't have this knowledge. But the people of knowledge, they mentioned that the scholars of hadith, they call them nuqad. They call them nuqad, jahabitha. They're like geniuses. A nuqad is from the prophet naqid. The naqid, he's somebody who's a criticizer, but also they call him like the sayrafi. You know the sayrafi? He's the person who deals with money. You can give him a coin. He can look at it for just 1 second. Man, this is counterfeit. Get it out of here. This is counterfeit. Get it. If you show it to me, oh, let me have that. Right? I don't know. I don't know about this science, this field. I have no knowledge, so I could easily be fooled. You could give me $100 bills. I couldn't tell you the difference. But somebody who is a professional, an expert in this affair, you can look at it and just feel it for a second. Even maybe sometimes you can see it from a distance and be like, man, that's fake. That's counterfeit. What you got counterfeit money for? Because he's a specialist in this, and he has years of experience in this, and it become like he has a medica, a talent for it, and it's like a part of his blood and his blood and his bone, his blood and his flesh, and he can see that stuff from far away. It's very easy for him. He's gifted with that. This is how they were with hadith. This is how they were with the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There were people would lie and make up lies, and they would make up chains. They'll put this chain with that chain, and this man in that chain. They would even make up names and put names in here, and they will find it, and they will find the one that made a mistake and the one who's lying. They'll pick him out and clarify him and put him on court, and they'll expose him, and they'll write his name in a book, call him Kadab. Then they'll write books about him. These are the Kadabun, what Ta'un. Those guys' names there in this book over here for history. You understand that they picked them out, and then even they will go even further than that. So and so the thiqah. Sufyan ibn Uyayna, akhtaahuna. Sufyan al-Thawri, akhtaahuna. He never makes a mistake. You say never, meaning almost never, right? But there are certain times, one, two, three times, he made a mistake. They'll find it, they'll pick it up, and they'll show it. This is that he made a mistake here. The great scholar who we love so much and we honor so much, narrates so many narrations, almost never makes a mistake. This one and this one and this one, this is where he's wrong. They'll find it. They'll find it. They will find it because of the Allah guided them. Allah guided them and Allah favored them. The efforts that they put, radiallahu anhum, is amazing. And it's major. As amazing as major. My point is to say again that the scholars of hadith, they just as they have conditions for the narration to be accepted in the chain, also there are conditions for the narrations to be accepted in the metin. In the metin. Why do you think I'm saying this right now like this? Because the ahsanta, because there's some people these days trying to claim that the scholars of hadith didn't care or have concern for the metin. And this is another way that they're trying to introduce doubts into the Muslims to make them have doubts about Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim so that their religion will fall apart. You understand? So they can play with him and do what they like with him. They try to bring doubts in this matter. The mustashrikun, they call them Orientalists. Today they call them Middle Eastern experts, the likes like this. They're deviant disbelievers, and they learn the Arabic language, and they seek to corrupt the believers and bring doubts in the likes like this. And from them is and from that is this affair. But if we look in the scholar, the books of hadith, we'll find the very conditions that they put, and the definition and the condition, and the points for a hadith to be authentic is exactly what I'm saying right now. But I want to emphasize it so that if you ever hear this or read this from the people. That you say from the people and the likes like this, or it comes to you on WhatsApp or so on and so forth, you know that it's a lie. You know that it's a lie. So at least you'll be able to repel that falsehood and that shubha with general knowledge, knowing that it's not true. Taqsim al-ahadi al-maqbula ila sahihan wa hasanin li dhatihi wa li ghayrihi. The division of accepted ad reports into sahih and hasan, sahih and hasan, intrinsic and extrinsic. Yani. Intrinsic, any bidhatihi, any for itself. Itself meets all the requirements. So therefore, it's authentic, it's sahih in itself, or it's hasan in itself. So we have two words now, sahihun or hasan. Sahih means authentic. Hasan, it means good. You have sahih bidhatihi. It's sahih, authentic in itself. In and of itself, it's graded to be authentic. Then you have sahihun li ghayrihi. Then it's authentic, not in itself, but when coupled with another. Now it raises, right? Now it raises. You understand? So we have two terms, sahihun wa hasan. Sahih, it means hasan, it means good or sound. Good, it's good or it's sound. And then so that's two categories. Both of these categories under one main category. What it's called? What is it called? Maqbool. Maqbool. We just talked about that, right? Maqbool. What is maqbool? Hadithun maqbool. Hadithun maqbool. What is that? A hadith that is accepted. A hadith that is accepted. What does it mean? It's accepted. We believe in it. The knowledge that it brings us, the information that it's mentioning there, we believe in it and we apply it. We follow it. We believe in it and we follow it. Wabih? It's called maqbul, hadith and maqbul. Under the category of a hadith and a maqbul, we have two types, a sahih or hasan. Kilahuma maqbul. You understand that? This is what we're discussing now. Then each one of these categories, from sahih, hasan, are two categories. So the sahih, منه ما يكون صحيحا لذاته ومنه ما يكون صحيحا لغيره. So from the sahih, one aspect is it's authentic in itself, in and of itself. All of the requirements considered authentic. You understand? And then there is another aspect of sahih that's لغيره لا لذاته. Not because it has gathered all of those conditions, but rather because it has the conditions to be accepted in the first place, meaning it's considered hasan, then it has come with other chains to support it, bringing it to the level of being sahih. Then we have hasan li dhatihi, it's hasan in itself. And we have hasan li ghayrihi, and it's hasan because it has supporting narrations, bringing it up to this level. You understand? All of these narrations here considered maqbool. All of these narrations here are considered maqbul. So there's conditions for sahih, and there's conditions for hasan. There's conditions for sahih, and there's conditions for hasan. If the sahih meets the conditions, it's called sahihun li dhatihi. If the hasan meets the conditions, it's called hasanun li dhatihi. It's clear? The conditions we talk about in tomorrow, inshallah. Right now, we're just going to get this chapter in our minds. We're going to try to visualize what we're discussing. We're not going to read it, inshallah ta'ala. We'll save that for tomorrow. So the sahih has conditions. If they're met, it's called sahih. And the hasan has conditions, which are just slightly lighter than the sahih. And if the condition is just slightly lighter than the sahih, and the memorization of this of the narrator. But if that's met, it's called hasan. It's sound and good in and of itself. The hasan lidatihi, the one that's sound and good in and of itself, if it has come with a number of different chains. Now these other chains, these other narrations of that same text, of that same level, reach now to being sahih. Not lidatihi, but lighthi. You understand? The difference between the sahih and the hasan, it lies in the narrator. So the accepted narrator, he's upright. He's upright and he's good, and he has the best memory. But some have better memories than others. You understand? So those who have the most precise memories, they almost never make a mistake. They almost never make a mistake. Very rarely. يعني تجد الخطأ منهم عزيز. It's rare that you will find that one of them make mistakes, but it's rare that they make mistakes. So these people, they're considered thiqat. So they're the narrators of the sahih. Then there are narrators that are strong likewise, but their memorization is a little bit lower. They make mistakes a little bit more than them. Not a lot. They're also precise and strong in their memory, but they're not of that level. Well, they call it saduq. So this person, his narration is called hasan. All of the same conditions are there except for this one. All the same conditions are there except for this one. If all of the conditions for the sahih, for the accepted hadith are there, and he's of the peak of memory, of memorization and narration, then his hadith is considered sahih. If he has all those same conditions and requirements fulfilled, but his memory just fell down a little bit, then his narration is called hasan. His narration is called hasan. You understand? And this is sahih lidatihi wa hasan lidatihi. So if the hasan lidatihi has come with one, two, three, or more chains, it's hasan lidatihi, then another chain came. And another chain came, mentioning the same narration. So now that problem that we had, thinking that maybe that this is that one time that weak memory affected him, right? His memory is not of that level. Now we see the fact that it's narrated from more than one chain, more than one narrator narrated the same thing. We're certain now he didn't make a mistake in this one. So now this narration moves up to be sahihun لغيره. واضح؟ This is clear. Okay. The same thing in general for the حسن. And the حسن for the حسن لذاته and the حسن لغيره. So the حسن لذاته, we just discussed it. The حسن لذاته is originally is like the صحيح, but the narrator, his memory is a little bit lower, although it's still very strong. Although it's still very strong, but he did not reach that level. So now, if that same narrator, his memory falls down even lower. His memory falls down even lower, or he makes quite a few mistakes, but he's still reliable. But he makes mistakes. Now his narration is going to be called Daif, because he's good, but he's making too many mistakes. But he's not making mistakes to where it's just like really, really pathetic and not accepted. He's making mistakes, and it's often, so often that we're cautious from his narrations. Then, or if there's a light missing link in the chain, it's like a mursal, for example, or muqatta, for example. Then we see, so that hadith is going to be daif. We're not going to accept it because of a weakness in the memory of the narrator, or some other light weakness in the chain. And this weakness in the memory of the narrator, who's reliable, is considered a light weakness. It's not a strong weakness. It's a light weakness. This initially, his narrator is weak. He's a weak narrator. It's classified as weak, and that which he narrates is weak. But whenever that weak narrator, his narration, this one particularly, has come with another chain, another narrator narrated the same thing, and another narrator narrated the same thing, even if they have some similar weaknesses, some similar light weaknesses, the fact that it come more than one time, is not more than one angle, more than one person mentioning the same thing, from more than one sheikh, and the likes like this, is clarifying that that narration specifically is accepted. So now that hadith is da'if, initially raises to a level of being hasanun li'aydihi, because it has light weaknesses in it, but there's many, many chains, many, many different paths that it came, clarifying that that text is accepted. And it's not a mistake. We're afraid it might be a mistake, but when it came from another one, it came from another one. For example, if you have a brother who likes to play around a lot, or sometimes he doesn't check or verify things, and then he comes and gives you some information. Somebody you know who is just like, for example, always spreading news. He doesn't check and verify. He's just always spreading anything that comes to him on YouTube. He spreads it in WhatsApp, and he's one of those people that spread everything. So when it right, you get some text from him, and Sheikh so-and-so said this, for example. Oh, subhanAllah. What do? You accept it right away? No, you don't accept it right away, because you know he's somebody who spreads everything. So he's a good brother, but unfortunately he spreads everything. So this is a problem for him, right? We don't find fault with him in his deen, but this issue here, and he makes the information he brings us to be questionable. So we don't accept what he says to us, or what he transmits and what he spreads, and he, on the devices and likes like this, automatically, because he's somebody who spreads everything. So therefore, we'd be cautious from him. Then if some other brother comes, he says the same thing. Or you get it from another person, he texts it from you. And until now, khalas, you know that brother, although he spreads everything, the one that he spread this time is accepted. Because a number of other people have mentioned the same thing, verifying that he was not in this one. Well, this is the same any concept here with regards to the hasan li ghayrihi. So the sahih lidatihi is authentic in itself. The hasan lidatihi is sound and good, and it's the sahih li ghayrihi is initially hasan lidatihi, sound and good in itself. It has other chains bringing it up to the level of sahih. And then the hasan li ghayrihi is initially a hadith da'if, da'if yasir, that has a light weakness, but it has a number of chains clarifying that that light weakness did not affect the narrator this time. You understand? Or did not affect the hadith in this circumstance. So therefore, it raises from being daif to hasanun li ghayrihi. And the sahih li dhatihi, wal hasan li dhatihi, wal sahih li ghayrihi, wal hasan li ghayrihi, kulluha maqbula. We believe in all of them, and we follow and apply all of them. Wadih? So long as they reach this level here. This is our topic tomorrow, Allah. And that was sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad. وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.